Hello, and welcome to the Commander Theory Podcast. I'm Nick Beatman, and I'm here with my friend, Zach Mack.
Hello, theorists.
So today, we're going to be talking all about alchemy. This is a brand new format for Magic Arena, and it brings with it a lot of changes with how Wizards is treating digital magic. So there's a lot to discuss, but before we jump in, I want to briefly talk about our Patreon. If you head on over to patreon.com/commandertheory, you can support the show and get sweet benefits for as little as $1 a month. If you aren't ready to be a patron yet, you can help us out by rating or reviewing us wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, with that, a lot of news related to this format in the last week or so. It is currently, as of the time we're recording, live on Arena, and we've seen all the new cards, so we're going to be occasionally discussing a few of them. This is not going to be a set review episode, but we are going to bring in specific examples from Alchemy to just highlight some points. But I'm burying the lead. Let's talk about what Alchemy is. Zach, what is Alchemy?
So Alchemy is a format, I guess. It's a new Arena-only format, to be completely clear. So everything we're going to be talking about pretty much only affects formats on Arena, but it affects them pretty heavily. So it is essentially standard with some cards rebalanced. So some actual physical cards that exist that we'll talk about that are different, will work different on the digital client. But then also some, about a month after every set, they're going to release Innistrad Alchemy or Kamigawa Neon Dynasty Alchemy, which will introduce new digital-only cards with digital-only mechanics to the format as well. And those will be legal in basically Alchemy, like the new standard and Historic, including Historic Brawl. So now every standard set is going to have the supplemental digital release, and the cards in Alchemy are going to be rebalanced kind of as they need them to, kind of like when banned and restricted announcements would happen. There's going to be Alchemy rebalancing happening as well. Whenever they rebalance a card, they're they're doing it pretty weird. So like, let's say a little spoiler alert, they rebalanced Phylath World Sculptor. So what they did, how that works, is that if you have copies of Phylath World Sculptor in your collection currently, you still have those copies, and you were gifted that many copies of the new Alchemy Phylath World Sculptor with the new text on it, and we'll kind of get into some of that later. Do you want to keep going? I'm missing some stuff that I think you can pick up on.
Sure. So one important thing to note is if you have a Phylath in your deck in, say, Historic Brawl, your deck is now illegal and you have to go through every deck you own that contains rebalanced cards, remove the standard version and put in the Alchemy version. And I don't know about you, Zach, but I've got like 70 or more Historic Brawl lists. And so having to go through and replace every Goldspan Dragon, every Phylath, every Alrin's Epiphany was a big chore. And I wish they could have done that a bit more smoothly.
Yeah, that really didn't make sense to me. I turned on the client, was pretty excited to jam some games. There's a free event that you could participate in. And I looked and all of my decks were not legal. And all of them, any of the standard ones, the non-standard ones, because all the standard ones with, like, say, an Alrin's Epiphany, which was rebalanced, to use their terminology, they didn't take that out. They just, now you have a deck that was illegal because it had a banned card in it. So that was pretty bad. That was a pretty bad way to roll that out.
Yeah, and it is a little unfortunate that cards that were problematic in standard but fine in like singleton 100 card formats just get nerfed. Like I just, some of these cards I just ended up taking out of my decks because they were no longer good enough. So that's not great, but on the other hand, it is nice to see that like there were buffs to some of these cards. Like, as you mentioned, Phylath is different, but specifically it's better. It now has trample, and the tokens it creates also have trample. So that's a nice little reward for your landfall decks. But in addition, I guess we should mention, since we're talking a bit about Historic Brawl, there were also bannings in Historic Brawl to coincide with this change, this introduction of the rebalanced cards. So Field of the Dead has been banned. Agent of Treachery has been banned. And Ugin the Spirit Dragon has been banned. So all three of these cards, if you played a lot of Historic Brawl, showed up disproportionately.
Yes.
And some of them just weren't super fun, like Field of the Dead. There were a lot of ways to tutor it out, especially since Golos is legal. So it just ended up being so that a lot of control decks didn't really have to run win conditions. Ugin the Spirit Dragon tended to like invalidate everything that came before it. And then Agent of Treachery, not only could it steal commanders, which was not incredibly fun, but it also was frequently used in conjunction with like blinking effects or reanimation or whatever, just a lot of abuse, so that you're never ever getting like one Agent of Treachery trigger. I'm glad that all three of those are gone from the format, and they chose not to rebalance them. They just figured, well, like what they do is at its base level problematic in this format, so we're just going to ban them. There's no like way to balance it to make this a fun Magic card. Like Agent of Treachery is just not fun.
Yeah.
so why even bother nerfing it? So that's an important change to that coincided with this release. But how do you feel overall about this, about rebalancing cards? I guess we'll continue with that and then we'll talk about the new cards in a little bit. But what are your thoughts on the rebalancing?
Yeah. Overall, I like that they rebalance cards. So initially when they were starting to roll these out, they kind of like slowly released which cards were getting rebalanced, slowly released the new cards for Alchemy. And the only rebalanced cards that I had seen up until like a few days ago, when more or less like the whole set had come out, was nerfs. So I was really worried that we were only going to see nerfs in the rebalancing and like cool new cards to kind of even it out. Which is not a good way to go about things. I think it's kind of bad PR to have rebalancing in your game, but all you ever do is nerf the pieces that you've already mm-hmm. released. It's like we said, like Phylath has been buffed, some other cards have been buffed, some weird choices for cards have been buffed. I'm hoping that people play with them. I'm gonna try, but I don't know if it's like enough.
Yeah, I think that the nerfs were like very significant.
Yes.
For the most part, like dropping a cat off of Essica's Chariot, dropping the birds off the base modes of Alrun's Epiphany, increasing the mana cost of the foretell cost of Alrun's Epiphany, and then everything they did to Omnath, like adding a mana and changing the drawing a card, descrying one. Really, really significant nerfs on these cards. And the buffs were pretty subtle, like adding a single point of toughness to Demi Lich. I don't know if that's gonna fix it. Yeah, I don't know if that's gonna make the card really compelling, or like lowering the mana cost of the third level of Druid class and Wizard class from 5 to 3. Like you've already invested 4 to 5 mana into the card before you even get to that point. So I don't think it like really has a huge impact on the card's power level. So like I was hoping to see more significant buffs. I think there's a lot of interesting cards in Standard that are fun and could use a real increase in their power. I was really hoping to see like Base Camp come into play untapped, because that was like the big note that everyone gave it when it was spoiled in Zendikar Rising. Like, if you want me to do party, then give me a real reward.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's really was no reason for them to do that, or even just like some of the like lesson or learn cards, because none of those show up in, I mean, I guess with the exception of like divide by zero, like most of the lesson learn cards are like kind of weak, you know?
Yeah.
Like you're not really running study break, you know, or like most of the other like red ones that were meant to see competitive play.
I totally agree with you. Like, you know, when Strixhaven came out, it was remarked that like, oh, this is not going to impact standard at all. So it's weird to not see any Strixhaven cards getting fixes in this update.
Yeah. So one of the things about the buffs and the debuffs is that if you're like, hey, let's play Alchemy, and standard queues are also available. So that's one of the things. As standard queues are also available in addition to Alchemy queues. Probably not gonna matter. So if I want to play old standard, I can just jump into the standard queue and play old standard. Not sure how many people are gonna be doing that though. The big problem is that isn't true for historic and historic brawl. There is only historic and historic brawl queues, and they do not have the option of playing old historic or old historic brawl formats with the unbalanced cards.
They're not able to play with unbalanced cards. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, you're not able to have a format with old version of Goldspan Dragon or something like that.
Yeah,
and that is pretty bad.
Yeah, I really disliked like, oh, my dragon deck just got worse for no reason. Like, Goldspan Dragon wasn't making Lathless or whatever busted. And it's not like it's hyper relevant and historic either. But whatever. I mean, another point to make is like when they do these rebalancing, and I think you were leading into this, is like you don't get wild cards the way you do when a card gets banned. So even if like, oh, this is the cornerstone of my deck, and I put in all these wild cards to build it, and you nerfed the key component, and now this is just a pile of crap, like, sorry, no refunds. You're just out of luck for however much time and wild cards you invested in that thing.
That's not a good look, in my opinion. You know, like, I definitely did craft cards, like spend wild cards, especially mythic wild cards, on things like Goldspan Dragon for my historic brawl decks, and the fact that I'm kind of not reimbursed for that is kind of gnarly. It's like, oh well, I'm not allowed to make any other deck I might want now that this is not what I had initially bought in for. And that's one of the things about Alchemy. That's one of their talking points, is that, oh, well, you know, we're going to rebalance the cards in Alchemy. We don't necessarily need to give you the wild cards back because you could just play standard, or you know that Alchemy is going to change, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, but you're forcing me to play with these cards in these other formats.
Yes.
So that sucks.
Yeah, definitely. I don't ever play standard. I don't craft for standard. I craft for historic brawl. And the idea that like I could just have the rug pulled out from under me and with no recourse or compensation is really unappealing.
I do think that there are going to be people who are more on the free to play side of things that kind of suffered the most out of everybody because of this change. And that sucks, because something that I was kind of noticing too at MTG Las Vegas was how many people do play Arena and how many people were there kind of because of Arena. Mm-hmm. Just people getting back into the game, people learning the game in the comfort of their own home without having to worry about like looking stupid. Like Arena does.
Or also serve, like, you know, playing safely
during the pandemic.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Or also like, you know, finding people to play with if they're new, and, you know, it's intimidating to try to find a play group for regular games.
Yeah, especially if like you are getting into this alone. It's not like you had a friend be like, hey, let's do this magic thing together. If you were like, this looks interesting, and you try to pick it up, and now you're trying to find like people to play with, well, that's difficult sometimes, especially in like cities that may or may not have that many like game stores and like obvious places to go try and play Magic. So yeah, definitely. I think Arena, it's good it exists. It's like good that there is a kind of streamlined, like easy to get into version of Magic. And we talked about why we like Brawl and Historic Brawl and easy to get into version of Commander, like for people to try out and experience and see, kind of dip their toes into like deck building and stuff like that. But if you're going to make it like actively difficult to participate in and to build for, then what's the point? Mm-hmm. Like if you're going to make it like pretty frustrating to use your client and to like build a collection in your client that doesn't have some way to like transfer cards or transform cards into other cards, whether that's through like some currency system or like if you eat like X amount of rares, you can turn it into a different rare you want or mythic rare, you know, something like that. Like then there's got to be some way that you can help these players out. And I don't think you'd be eating into your profits doing so. Mm-hmm. You know, it really doesn't seem like giving people like 4 wild cards for their Luminarch aspirants was going to harm the bottom line for Wizards, especially when you just release 62 new cards.
Yeah. None of which are common, most of which are rare or mythic rare. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I wonder if you want to move on to like specific notes on these rebalances.
Yeah, no, let's do it. Let's get into some. We're not going to like review all of the cards. We're going to talk about, because there are some commanders now that only exist in digital. And we're going to talk about like some specifics that we thought were interesting above and beyond like what we were just saying. So,
yeah, but before that, I just want to talk about like the rebalances a little bit more. Maybe if there's any cards that stuck out to you, like how do you feel about the specific changes they made?
We were kind of talking about it earlier, but just like the rebalancing and the buffing, like there are cards that are like pretty fun in standard right now that are like almost there. It's like so close to being a card that could see standard play. So this is stuff like Gnarled Professor, which is, it's just like a 5/4 trample for 4, but it learns, you learn when it enters the battlefield. Like something like that, like, or, I don't know, there's a ton of just cards that were almost there, but then they chose to buff some like uncommons instead. Mm-hmm. They chose to buff some like really strange things instead of some of the more splashy cards that could have been really fun to play with. So to me is like, doesn't really make sense. Like why not make like Dramatic Finale where you when your things die you get 2/1s, but it costs, it's a 4 mana enchantment that's very heavily white black. Mm-hmm. And your creature tokens get a buff. Like why not make that not trigger only once each turn and like make a new deck in the format?
And like why is Wizard class getting a buff? Like even with this buff, is it really going to see play when there's like Behold the Multiverse
and yes, exactly,
like Memory Deluge and all these insane blue draw spells in the same format? I don't really think so.
Yeah, definitely. And the dragons and Efficient Removal and Expressive Iteration, like they could have done a lot more to kind of make cool archetypes exist. And that's actually the thing that kind of gets me, is that the nerfs that they did like were wide reaching. It just was, it seemed like bad PR, because there's very much you can do to like buff things and make things exciting. But now we kind of just have this confusing mess of cards that they like, it's going to be completely reasonable for someone to like look at an Essica's Chariot in like the next few months and not realize that it makes 2 cats, you know, like have like little confusions like that. Like what, it's crew 4? Like that's going to be a discussion that is going to start happening on like actual tables because of this alchemy change. And that's kind of a weird thing to me. Mm-hmm. So at this point, do we want to get into, so I can stop complaining, some of the commanders or some of the new
Yes.
Cards in particular.
Yeah. So this is not a set review, but yes. We are just going to talk about, like, you know, some of our notes, things we noticed about the new cards. Because, and I guess I'll start off by saying, like, I like when they play in digital only design space, but I really, really hate when they use these digital only slots for cards that could have easily been executed in paper Magic.
Mm-hmm.
There are cards on here that where it's there's no reason it couldn't be printed in paper, and for those designs it just makes me feel like I'm being denied something cool for my commander decks or for, you know, my collection or whatever. Just there are cards on here that I want to exist in paper and could easily exist in paper but don't because they were released in Alchemy.
Yeah.
Specifically, the card that really sticks out to me is Wicker Wing Effigy. This is 3 mana for a 1/4 artifact creature Scarecrow with Defender. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. You may cast creature spells from the top of your library. And whenever you cast a creature spell from your library, it becomes a black bird in addition to its other colors and types, has flying, and has base power and toughness 1/1. So that's not wildly far off from cards we already have in Magic. Like, for example, they just printed that white mass reanimation spell that reanimates your graveyard, but they're all 1/1 white spirits. So it's like permanently changing the power and toughness of a card isn't really enough to make it a digital only design. If they're worried about like remembering flying, that's something that could be handled with like a flying counter or something. I just think that this card could work just fine in paper Magic, and it, you know, it's certainly the coolest Scarecrow we've seen in a couple years. So you're really denying existing decks this tool.
It's kind of weird. Like Sanguine Brushstroke was another one. This is an enchantment. It's a rare. It said 1 black/black. And when it enters the battlefield, you create a blood token and conjure a blood artist onto the battlefield. And then when you sacrifice a blood token, you drain opponents. They lose 1 life, you gain 1 life. The thing is, though, we already have cards that make like Ajani's Pridemate tokens. And we have the Spell Shapers from Time Spiral that make like Llanowar Elf tokens and like other tokens that are technically cards. Like, and Blood Artist isn't so complicated of a card that like you couldn't have just made a token of it. You know what I mean? So this one also seems like pretty easy to do it in paper and would have really helped decks that wanted to use blood, especially in Commander, because blood is like there's so few rewards for blood right now that like if every time you sacrificed a blood, you drained your opponent 1 life, you drained your opponent's 1 life, like that would have been a huge boon to a lot of those decks. And now we just don't get access to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's crazy because the set just came out. Like, we're not going to see blood for who knows how long.
Something that kind of bothered me is just like, I don't understand what audience some of these cards are for. There's only like 3 real formats on Arena, which is basically Standard, or in this case, Alchemy, basically Historic and Historic Brawl. Like, those are kind of the main formats. So, and if a card doesn't really fit into any of those, it's hard for me to get what the purpose of creating it was. So, for example, like Ishkanah Broodmother was one of the new legends printed in Alchemy. She's 3 and a green for a 3/5 legendary creature spider with reach. Other spiders you control get +1/+2, and you can pay 1 and hybrid black green and exile 2 cards from your graveyard to draft a card from Ishkanah's spellbook. And the spellbook is basically just a bunch of spiders from across Magic's history. What bugs me about this card, no pun intended, is like spiders don't really need additional toughness. That's not what makes them good. Or that's not that's not like that their mechanical through line is not having too little toughness. So, but you're just making them more spidery, but that doesn't actually make them better. Like there's an uncommon in Crimson Vow, like the black green draft uncommon. That's honestly a better spider commander than this Ishkana, because it actually turns spider's asset into, or it turns spider's like main characteristic, having the higher toughness, into an asset, where Ishkana doesn't really do that. And paying mana and exiling cards from your graveyard to draw a crappy card isn't really enough of a reward either.
Yeah.
So this, I've like built the deck and tried it in the historic brawl queue, you know, with all the spiders I could and a bunch of black green staples, and I just keep getting beat down very badly. So I really don't understand. This card doesn't seem like it's tuned for historic brawl, and it's certainly not going to compete in like alchemy or historic. So who's the card for?
Mm-hmm. No, I agree as well. Like the we've talked about this on the show before, but like tribal lord designs, and like a lord that just does this, like, yes, this is a 1v1 format technically, like historic brawl is just 25 life and you and your opponent, but spending 4 mana for a card that does that, even if it is a 3/5 reach itself, like, that's not really a good card. Think about like all the goblin lords that don't get played. Like, mm-hmm. There's a reason why a lot of the goblin lords are like not legacy staples, and it's because you have to do a little bit more than just offer a casual buff, especially at like 3, 4, 5 mana. So just some strange design there, and there's just some strange designs in general, and some of them feel strange just for the sake of it. There's a new Wrath in the format that is a good design. It's a 4 mana green green white white, destroy all creatures, cards in your hand get perpetually +1/+1. That's like cool and fine, that's whatever. But then there's stuff like I guess I'll try and read Grizzled Huntmaster, where like I don't actually know what they were trying to do with this card.
It's so many words to do so little.
Yeah, so I'm gonna try and read it, and I know this is an audio podcast, and if you're confused, don't worry, I am too. So Grizzled Huntmaster is a new card. It's a 4/3 human warrior for 3 mana value, 1 green green, and here it is, the doozy of a paragraph. When Grizzled Huntmaster enters the battlefield, you may exile a creature card from your hand. If you do, search your library and hand for any number of cards with the same name and exile them, then shuffle. Choose a creature card you own from outside the game. Conjure a duplicate of that card into your hand for each card exiled from your hand this way. So, you cast this guy. You exile a creature card from your hand. Then you exile every other version of it from your hand and library. And then, for each one that happened to be in your hand when this guy's ability resolved, you make a copy of a card from your sideboard and put it into your hand. What? like what? Is this so you can turn your, like, 1 and 2 drops that are bad into, like, a 4-drop that's better? But then, like... like, is this just for deck thinning? Like, what? Who is this for? What is this?
This is so confusing to read, and honestly, like, I feel like you could, if this just said like learn, this would be, it'd be so much easier to understand. Like,
yeah,
it would do mostly the same thing. Like, how about just when it enters the battlefield, learn? Mm-hmm. If you have a crappy creature in your hand, you can discard it and draw a card. Or you can, like, go get a spell or, like, a lesson from out of your sideboard, and some of those create creature tokens. Like, I just... It's so much text, and it's so hard to grok what's going on. And, like, in the end, it's not even that good. So... So, like, why print this card? There's a difference between like digital only mechanics that are easy to understand but can only be executed in paper or like in digital versions. Like it's pretty easy to understand drafting a card from a spell book. But there's no way you could make that happen in a tournament, in a paper tournament. Mm-hmm. But Grizzle Huntmaster, like, okay, yeah, I see you. This definitely has a digital only mechanic on there, but it's not the only way to execute this concept, and it confuses people. Like, I much prefer the digital only designs that are relatively simple, and especially the ones that are really flavorful. Like, there's some huge wins in this.
In this set.
In this set. Like, I don't think it's particularly good, but like Tireless Angler makes me smile every time I see him. He's 2 and a blue for a 1/4 human rogue. Whenever an island enters the battlefield under your control, draft a card from Tireless Angler's spellbook. And his spellbook is just a bunch of like sea creatures. It's like fish and whales and krakens and octopuses. So it's a fantastic flavor win, but the text is super simple. It's like, what, 15 words? Anyone could easily get what's going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, and even there's one of the commanders, if we can start segueing into that, that I thought was pretty interesting. So there's this guy, Oglore, Devoted Assistant. He is a 1/1 homunculus for 1 and a blue, and what he does is at the beginning of your upkeep, you look at the top 2 cards of your library, put one of them into your graveyard, and then whenever a creature card is put into your graveyard from your library or hand, it gains... when this card leaves your graveyard, you make a 2/2 zombie. So that could be like shuffling your graveyard into your library. That could be like regrowing the creature from your graveyard to your hand. It could be a bunch of stuff, exiling your graveyard. So what this guy essentially does is he kind of gives you this weird filter mechanic, and then also can give you a bunch of zombies. And the fact that it's perpetually added to the card means you could keep pitching and regrowing the same creature card to keep getting increasingly more and more zombies off the same creature. It's like pretty interesting, and it's a cool design space, and it's pretty easy to understand, especially once you've seen it like happen in the game one time. In general, I think this is kind of what I want. Like, there's basically 2 lines, and I can understand what's going on after I read them. And it's just something that is a little bit hard to do in paper. So like, okay, Oglore, you get like a thumbs up for me, but I don't know. Do you want to jump in? Well, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I will give Oglore a thumbs down. Because as a historic brawl commander, it doesn't work very well. Like, you really do need black or green or other color that can interact with the graveyard. Like, blue is awful at triggering Oglore's ability. I think that like they should have done something like what they did with Ishkana, is just like sneak a black mana symbol, like, you know, in a hybrid mana or in the text box or something, so that you can actually get this guy to work in one of the 3 formats on Arena. Because as it stands now, this doesn't look like a super compelling commander. I don't see, aside from the few shuffle effects that are legal in this format, I really don't see how you're able to effectively build around him and get a lot of value off of his trigger.
No, I mean, I totally do that. I happened to, when alchemy was introduced, they give you some alchemy cards, and Oglore was one of mine. So I happened to like make that mono blue historic brawl list just to see, and it's a slog. it's pretty bad, because you have to put in so many cards to enable it, that are like not good, that you just kind of get run over by the guy playing Toski, or like literally anyone else. But to kind of keep going on this, to get this part over with, we also got in white Captain Eberhart, which is kind of an interesting design that I guess is technically has to be digital only because people will cheat. This guy is a 1/1 double strike human soldier for 1 and a white. So just a 2 mana 1/1 double strike. Spells cast from among cards you drew this turn cost 1 generic less to cast. Spells cast from among cards your opponents drew this turn cost 1 generic more to cast. That's pretty elegant. This is the kind of like design that I do like to see, even though like there's got to be some way to make this. like this could have just said like spells you cast on your turn or cost 1 less.
How about
spells cost on your two on the screen cost one more or something?
How about like whenever you draw a card, like some sort of like adaptation of miracle text, like whenever a card, you may reveal it. If you do, you may cast it for, you know, basically one less than its mana cost.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bunch of ways to do it.
Yeah. Like, I don't think the hate bear effect on this is as interesting as like, oh, I have a cheap, this is like the cheapest double strike commander in mono white. And like, oh, you could, you know, my bone splitter is free if I drew it this turn, or my like, you know, some sort of, basically like, I could see this being a Voltron-y type commander, and it's a little unfortunate that it only works in digital or only available in digital.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I do like how digital cleans up the card, but it is kind of upsetting that this is a digital only card. We went over Oglore, so let's go into the black card, which is a Gutmourne Pact Bound Servant. This guy's kind of this guy's weird as hell. Mm-hmm. This guy is a 1/3 flying death touch demon for 3 mana, 1 and a black. Whenever Gutmourne Pact Bound Servant enters the battlefield, each player discards a non-land card. And then he has, whenever a player discards a card during your turn, they choose another player. That player conjures a duplicate of that card into their hand. It perpetually gains. You may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast the spell. So, what the hell?
I do want to point this out. This is like super nitpicky.
Yeah.
They templated his ETB trigger wrong.
That's written all over these cards. Like, these cards, because they know that like a person isn't going to have to think about it. So like there's like typos and spelling errors all over these cards. And when you ask like the rules manager, they're like, I don't know, it just works.
Yeah. Or also
it's
like
crazy.
I think their attitude is just like, we'll fix it in post. Cause like looking at the spoiler, City Stalker Connoisseur says when it enters the battlefield, Gutmourne says whenever. It's like they really just didn't have an editor do a pass on these cards. This is certainly a very strange design. I guess they didn't like the tiny bones gameplay of just like, I strip cards out of your hand forever and then fail to win.
Yeah.
Gutmourne, I guess, is like maybe a more Timmy friendly type of discard commander.
Yeah. It's faster than Tegrid, it's faster than Tegrid. It's not as brutal as Tegrid, but it is definitely brutal. Like, this deck is not going to be fun to play against, but mm-hmm. I like don't know why this is the design. Like, what deck is this servicing, you know? Like, who in standard, why would I play this? In like historic, why would I play this? In brawl, like, is this a compelling commander? I guess like you said, tiny bones maybe wasn't doing it like they thought it would, so very strange.
Yeah, I'm gonna try all these, but I wouldn't be surprised if they just weren't playtested very thoroughly.
Yes, they really do. Like, honestly, it seems like they were like, because we learned about Alchemy very quickly before it came out.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they maybe only had a few months to make these cards. Like, honestly, like they do not seem very well thought out. This one was like kind of an obvious one. This one is Rahilda. This is the red commander. Rahilda, Wanted Cutthroat, and they are a human werewolf for 2 mana, first strike for a 2/2 for 1 and a red. They flip into a werewolf. I'll get to that in a second, but they have the same trigger on both sides. When Rahilda, Wanted Cutthroat, deals combat damage to a player, exile a non-land card from their library at random. During any turn you attacked with a wolf or werewolf, you may cast that card, and you may spend mana as though it were mana of any color to cast that spell. So, she has Daybound, Nightbound. The Nightbound side is Rahilda, Feral Outlaw. It is the exact same thing, except it has double strike. Mm-hmm. It is a 2/2 double strike instead of a 2/2 first strike. So that's nice. That's convenient and easy for like my brain to remember, but like, this only goes in werewolf decks. I'm not really sure if I want to build this as a mono red commander here, but
also maybe. Is this like, I mean, it kind of begs the question, how different is exiling a non-land card from an opponent's library at random from just exiling the top card. Because this could so easily have been executed the same way that, like, I mean, it looks a lot like Robber of the Rich. The main difference is, like, okay, it doesn't have haste. It has, it's a combat damage trigger instead of an attack trigger and doesn't care about cards in hand. Okay, I know as I'm saying this, it's sounding less and less like Robber of the Rich, but my point is, like, this could have been paper friendly so easily. The top, like, it's not that often that your opponent is going to know the top card of their library, or you're going to know the top card of your opponent's library. It's functionally very, very similar. So it begs the question of, like, why do it at all? Why deny another cheap werewolf for the people who want it for their commander decks?
Just very strange. And then we talked about Ishkana, who is the green one. There's the bonus commander, which is Gitrog, Horror of Zava. This is one of the few multicolor cards in this, like, small alchemy set. It's a 6/6 menace for 4 mana, 2 black green. It's a frog horror, and they have a lot of text. So at the beginning of each combat, if Gitrog, Horror of Zava is untapped, any opponent may sacrifice a creature. If they do tap Gitrog, then seek a land card and put it onto the battlefield tapped. So, like, they get to choose to placate your frog horror, and if you do, you get a free land. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, it perpetually gains black, green, tap, sacrifice this land, draw a card. So, I don't know, Nick, you tell me, is this a compelling commander to build around?
No, I really don't love, I mean, God, there's a couple things going on here, and I don't really like any of it. It's giving my opponents control over what my commander does, so I hate that. I don't think I'm going to be sacrificing my lands that often. That is a really steep cost in a 1v1 format that doesn't have a lot of, I mean, there's not that much land recursion in this format. You get Crucible, you get Ramunap, Excavator, and you get whatever that thing is, the 6-drop from Zendikar Rising, the mythic. But I just don't think that I'm going to be doing that. I'm going to be activating that ability very often. And I might not even be ramping from my commander. So do I really want to set myself back if I don't have additional land drops or ramp? Okay, here's a question for you. I mean, Gitrog has menace, but it might just be better for your opponents to, like, throw a couple creatures and, like, in the front of Gitrog and let just chump block it than let you get a land off of it. So they just have so many options for how to not get hit by Gitrog, and you don't have a lot of control over what your commander does.
Yeah, there's, I mean, almost no control. And then, like, paying 2 per land to draw a card, like, to sack and draw a card, is, like, pretty hefty. You're basically paying 3 and sacking a land. Not the best rate there. it's really strange. Like, you're in green and black. Like, both of these cards have not a hard time drawing cards, especially when your commander is a 4-mana 6/6. So, very weird. I don't know. The whole thing, very strange. It really didn't feel like the Gitrog to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I want to bring this back to Commander, if you're okay with this. Like, what do you think this means for, like, Commander design? Because we've seen some, like, pretty banger, like, at least attempts at Commanders from the last few sets, now that we have Commander decks in each set. Do you think that's going to change? Like, it's pretty obvious that there's going to be this schism between digital and paper. Like, do you think that's going to affect Commander in any way now?
I think that this is just speculation, but if Alchemy becomes popular and, like, more popular than Standard, then Wizards isn't really going to be incentivized to spend a ton of resources to balance Standard perfectly, because they can always do a hot fix, like, a month after a set release, and patch up any holes or, like, fix any really busted cards. So if that's the case, then there's going to be a bunch of, so like, Standard has Alchemy, and they can fix these issues. But for older formats, we're just going to get, like, we may end up getting less balanced cards injected into older formats. And I don't know how that's going to affect Commander relative to, like, you know, Modern or Pioneer or whatever. If Wizards perceives that there's not a whole lot of benefit, like the cost benefit analysis of continuing to try to, like, perfectly balance Standard years in advance in the face of millions of Arena grinders, if they might just give that up and say, you know what, it's fine, we're gonna reallocate these resources to, like, casual play design and not worry so much about getting Standard perfect because we can fix it later. That could be a good thing for Commander if the resources go to casual play design, but maybe that's a different skill set. I don't know exactly, but it could lead to imbalanced stuff in other formats.
As a Commander player, that actually doesn't sound that bad. Mm-hmm. It really does seem like they're trying to disregard the reserve list by, like, printing over it, if that makes sense. Like, they're trying to print past the reserve list in terms of power so that they can print cards into, like, Modern and or Pioneer and whatever like that. That's kind of, like, there's no confirmation on this, so I'm not a financial advisor, blah, 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 all that stuff. Like, this is just me talking, so this is speculation on my part. So for anyone listening right now, this is kind of what it seemed like to me, and it seems like they do realize that Commander is kind of the biggest, bestest way. Commander and Collectors are the best way for them to sell paper Magic at this point in time. So that means we're going to see more Collector boosters, more promo cards, more various arts. And I think that's good, because what it does is it makes game pieces cheaper, right? Like, if everyone is opening packs to find the promo Dracula version of Olivia, like, 3.0, then Olivia of 3.0 regular art is all of a sudden, like, a $6 card instead of a $30 chase rare or something like that. So that is a good thing for people who want to play the game in general. And we've seen this happen over the years where there's been an overload in material. And EDH Rec just had a podcast release recently that was talking about, like, the most popular commanders. And basically the top 10 commanders make up half of the format on EDH Rec. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's true with any set in particular. Like, 10% of any of the commanders in any set are 50% of all the decks that are made for that set in regards to, like, commander lists that are posted online. What that means is that some cards are going to go up and there's going to be FOMO and stuff like that. But if you need cards, if you need janky rares, if you need something for your, I don't know, what's a set that came out last year? Ikoria. So, like you're making a list for an Ikoria commander that no one is really playing anymore. Let's say it's like General Kudrow. Some of those cards are probably going to be pretty cheap now. You know, like, if you need a card that is a human for whatever reason, like, that card might only be $1 or $2 when in years past, when there's only like 5-ish commanders released in a set, if we were lucky, that would have been like a much more expensive card. So I actually do think that, like, the way that they're printing cards right now is good for us, even though it seems like it's too much to take in and it's an overload. And I think that what you're saying, if they do allocate resources towards, like, casual play design, which they definitely say they're doing right now, I think that would be better for Commander. But it does suck that every other format has to suffer because of that. And I think one of the reasons that Magic is so good, and the reason why I've been able to play it for so long, is that when something goes wrong somewhere, or when people are frustrated about something, I just, like, play a different format. You know, like, since Commander's come along, I haven't really needed to, like, worry about that in particular. You know, like Commander's pretty all-encompassing. There's a lot of things I can try. There's a lot of people that play it. But, like, before, if, like, Casual 60 wasn't doing it for me, I started playing Standard, and I play Pauper, and I have Modern decks, and it's not like I'm just, like, dipping my toes in one well. It's kind of experiencing a lot of what Magic has to offer has made me really appreciate the game and, like, learn about the game and how the cards come together and it's made me a better deck builder, and like it's given me a lot of skills that normal people don't need. But I think like the fact that that part might suffer because of this alchemy change kind of blows, you know, like that's kind of weird.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes. As an arena player, I'm very optimistic about the future. Like, yeah, I don't love that some of my cards got nerfed, but getting more toys to play with, more legendary creatures, the idea that, the idea that things that are busted in Historic Brawl can be fixed is pretty attractive.
Yeah, I do agree with that for sure.
So I'm tempering my trepidation about how this is going to affect most formats with positive feelings as somebody who does spend a lot of time on Arena each week.
Yeah, that is one of the things, is like, this seems like it's going to benefit the two main ways that I've been able to play Magic. Like, Limited, they've been knocking it out of the park for a long time. And then as soon as Arena was on my phone, it was over. Like, then it was like, okay, cool. I can play Standard if I want to now. And I can play Historic Brawl, like, if I'm, like, waiting in line at, like, the store, or I'm at the doctor's, or whatever it is. Like, here it is. I can play Arena now. And then when I'm at home, it's like, I can play webcam games with my friends. My friends who've been vaxxed, we can all meet up and like play Commander like the good old times. So it really seems like they're focusing on the two ways that I play Magic the most now, which like excites me. But if you are not excited, I 100% understand, because I'm acknowledging that there's a lot of harm this could do to other formats and ways to play. And I want to say one last thing about Alchemy, is that I actually don't think Alchemy as just a way to rebalance Standard is a bad thing. I think it's actually a very good thing. I think this rollout was just atrocious, though. I think the lack of wild cards, I think like having to change like 70 something decks on Arena before I could play with them was like disgusting. They're basically doing everything wrong for ostensibly a really good reason. So if they could have gotten the rollout a little bit more correct, I think people wouldn't have hated it as much. They really just need to like be more generous with wild cards. Like, it won't cost them any money and then everyone will be really happy. Like, imagine this rollout happened, you got wild cards for each one of your cards that were like quote nerfed. Like, you would be ecstatic. You'd be tweeting about it. You'd be like, this alchemy thing kicks butt. You know, like it would be the exact opposite situation. People would be like, oh wow, like Magic's really killing it right now. Maybe I should play, in the same way that like Arcane has done with like League of Legends, right? Like, people were like, wow, Arcane's amazing, I'm going to start playing League of Legends. It just seems so weird that they don't do that.
Yeah, and that is one potential downside of, let's say they do pull resources from Standard play design. That means we're going to have more situations like this occur on a more frequent basis, rather. So like, you're gonna have to go through your 70 decks more often, or you're going to like not get wild cards while your cards get nerfed more often. That doesn't seem like an appealing future. So I really do hope that they take some lessons away from this, and rebalancing doesn't have to be a bad thing if they handle it the right way.
Yeah, exactly. Like, ostensibly it's a good thing. It does put them at an advantage with these other digital card games that can do this whenever they want, and that's good. I don't actually think that's a bad thing, and it's just as long as they roll it out properly. And they're just really not doing that right now. Seems to be their MO. So that's kind of it. There's a lot to process about Alchemy. We talked a lot about the client. We talked a lot about like the cards in it this episode, but like, ostensibly this has like ripples throughout the entirety of Magic and Magic's production and design. So we really do want to hear your opinions on this. Please tweet at us. Please, if you're in our Discord, talk to us about it. We want to hear your opinions on this, because it's a pretty drastic shift in Magic policy at this point.
Yes, please let us know your thoughts. We're only two minds, and we're interested to see how you think this is going to affect not just Arena players, but the broader Magic community. But with that, I think we're going to wrap it up for this episode. And I want to give a brief thank you to our Patreon patrons. They are Gustav, Ryan, Addison, Rick, Raphael, Kyle, Laser, Charlotte, The White Clays, Hannah, Andy, James, Logan, Roger, Evan, Bryce, Dylan, Benjamin, Jamie, Matthew, Jason, Kyle, Brandon, Kevin, Kydell, Jeremy, Russell, Dylan, John, John, Micah, Troy, Roxanne, Brian, Charles, Daniel, Andrew, Leon, Jason, Paul, Johan, and Jonathan. Thank you all for supporting the show. And if you're not currently a Patreon patron but would like to become one, please check us out at patreon.com/commandertheory. Thanks for listening.
If any of you theorists want to get in touch with us, I am at Commander Theory on Twitter and Tumblr, and Zach is at Fat Bartleby on Twitter. Our theme song is Lincoln Continental by Entropy, and you can check him out on SoundCloud. Until next time, we're going back to the drawing board.